Let's look at this verse together. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good. We've heard that word good. God is good. Did you know God expects us to be good because we have His very character and nature? For in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Do not grow weary in doing good, because in due season we're going to reap if we don't lose heart. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. First verse. Therefore, since we have this ministry, what ministry? The transformation of being transformed from glory to glory to glory. Keep in mind, these were not written in chapters. They were divided into chapters. And so right after verse 18 of chapter 3, he puts another line that was separated to another chapter, thinking that the thought had changed, but I believe the thought is continuous. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not faint or we do not lose heart. Okay? Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Consider him, Jesus, who endured hostility, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I was talking with Richard Affeld after his wife died. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of what I told him. God gave you your emotions. Say that with me. But He did not expect you to be controlled by them. He did not design you to be controlled by your emotions. There are times in your life you cannot trust the way you feel. There are times that you go through things and everything. You absolutely, and we're going to tell you the four things we need to do. You absolutely need to focus alone on Jesus Christ and tell your emotions to be quiet. And that is very hard to do because God made us emotional. But when we give ourselves to trusting our emotions and being led by our emotions, most likely there'll be a time when your emotions will hurt you or hurt someone else. We talked about that a little earlier. How many just flew off the handle for no great reason? How many gave somebody a piece of your mind when you need to keep all them pieces you got? You know, there are times, I don't know, maybe I'm not even that human, but there are times I don't wake up in a good mood. So my philosophy is, how can you have a good day when you got to start by waking up? That's right, Curtis. And so we go from ups and downs, emotional swings. And if we begin to trust them, as a voice of truth to us, it's not healthy. So Paul realizes that. You know, John the Baptist had a very interesting emotional time, and we talked about that a while back. He's locked in prison. He knows Jesus has come to set the prisoner free. He's a forerunner, but nothing's happening. And so what does he go through? He tells his disciples, go ask Jesus if he's the one I'm looking for. Now, can we just put everything on the table? In my human nature, there are times that I went through when I wondered where God was. You ever do that? Have you ever wondered, God, are you really there? How many of you had your prayers bounce off the ceiling? I know none of you have, but you felt like it. And what happened? The devil tells you, well, God doesn't hear anyway. God doesn't care about you. Maybe there is no God. And so we go through all different things with our mind and our emotions, and it's not always telling us the truth. Kirk, devil ever get in your mind? Did the devil ever get in your mind?
Sometimes I wonder if he ever leaves.
How many know the devil speaks to you, or an oppressive spirit speaks to you, or they lie to you? But you know, we hear it over and over and over and over again until we start believing the deception. And that is why we have to be more sensitive to the voice of God than we can be to the voice of Satan. The voice of God is not going to come to you with a bunch of negative stuff, okay? The voice of God is never going to doubt God's existence. Come on, think about that for a while. The voice of God is not going to come to you and deny God who said, I love you, and tell you he doesn't. God's voice is not going to tell you those things. God's voice is not going to tell you that you're hopeless and nobody loves you, nobody cares, and there's no hope for you. We okay? The voice of God, even in the prophetic, comes for exhortation, urge you on, edification, build you up, and comfort. That's what the Holy Spirit speaks to us about in prophecy. And so, as I was working on this, and I started early in the week, I just want us to believe the truth and don't fall for the deception and a lie. Are you with me? One. How many are with me? So Paul writes in a couple places, don't grow weary in well-doing because we're going to reap in due time if we don't faint. Another place he writes, therefore having this ministry, we do not lose heart. Now there's two different Greek words used here. In 2 Corinthians 4:1, it talks about losing courage. Just afraid to face the situation. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, and in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 3, it's coming to a place of being exhausted, growing weary, almost to the place of despondency where you're willing to give up. Ever been there? Do you ever speak to yourself and say, what's the use? Nothing's ever going to change. Everything's going to keep going. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us to be. He wants us to come to a place of denying the strength, the support, and the energy that God gives us. He wants you to lose the fire and the tenacity that you have placed within you by the Holy Spirit to serve God. He wants you to look at everything but the real. He wants you to get focused on the temporary and not the eternal. Temporary subject to change. The eternal is forever. And if he can get us to focus on the things of this world, on everything going on our families, on our job, on our finances, whatever it might be, if he can have you focus on the temporary, he's winning the war because we're forgetting about the eternal. And so he comes to you, the devil does, with all these things. How many of you have ever asked yourself, when's this going to stop? And how many things can I handle at once? You ever been there? God, if you're there, why am I going through this? And it hurts. And it saddens us. And it, at times, gives us a despondent feeling, and we get discouraged. And all this stuff, because what we do, we bring ourselves to looking at the circumstances instead of the God who's way above the circumstances. And when you look at the circumstances and you put the circumstances in front of God, we have a mountain that we don't know what to do with. So God says, don't be weary in well-doing. I want to say something, and I pray that you take hold of it. Every good work produces a result. I want you to think about that if you don't get anything else. Every time you do good and you don't actually see what's happening, there's a result happening, and it's going to be beneficial. We don't see it that way. Because we look at things right now and we don't look down the road. But every good work produces a good response. Maybe not immediately. But you know, you start sowing and you start sowing. How many of you invested a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of gospel and a lot of hope into people's lives? And they just kind of ignore it. And so we do. I'm just going to quit. That's not what God says. You may quit throwing the gospel in their face or telling them they need to be saved, but you don't quit praying for them. How many of you accepted Christ after you heard the gospel quite a while before you decided to make that commitment? How many of us heard the gospel and we just kind of blew it off for a while? And so we come to a place where we don't get despondent, we don't get weary. Yeah, our emotions can, but you're in charge of your emotions through the Holy Spirit. The other one where it says, since we have this ministry, we don't lose heart, it means we don't lose courage. It's very interesting. We don't lose courage and we don't get exhausted. We face the reality of things and we face them in self-control. You like that, don't you? How many are listening yet? And so when someone tells us and looks at us or someone pokes a joke at us about our Christian faith. I was in Teals the other night talking to Stephen, and I had a shirt on that I got from Dave Leesocker over the tent revival. It says, Jesus Christ tougher than hell. I thought it was a pretty neat shirt. And this little guy comes up, he's carrying out groceries. He says, you don't really believe in that, do you? And I said, of course I do. Yeah, Jesus Christ is tougher than hell. He'll get you out of it. But there are people who will not accept the fact of Jesus Christ. But we have a ministry, And we don't back up. We don't cower. God did not give us the spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You know, I've often said, and I've said it here so many times, if the only thing that Paul went through was people laughing at him, he'd have had a good life. Amen? I'm going to show you in a minute what Paul went through. But Jesus and Paul and us will all suffer persecution. Little slidery and snide remarks, sometimes physical, as we stand for Jesus. All who are godly will what? Suffer persecution. The Jesus in you stirs up the devil in them, and they're not going to be very happy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so, you know, we don't shove Jesus down somebody's throat, but I don't deny him either. If somebody's going to ask me, do you believe in this Jesus? I'm sure not going to hang my head and say, well, I don't really know. I think my church does. We don't lose courage. The Bible says that the believer is strong like a lion, bold. We walk it out. Let's look at Christ for a moment. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. He was hated. I mean, I've had people hate me. But you know, you just come to a place of realizing they have bad taste. It's the way to get through it. Anybody have people hate you? But I've never met anyone that says, I'd like to kill you. I'd like to put you on the cross. I'd like to pound nails in your hand. I'd like to see your blood flow. I'd like to see all this stuff happen. But Jesus did. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12:3 that he did that lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Jesus went through this stuff, of course, for our salvation and healing, but he also demonstrated to us what people may try to will think about you and may try to do to you as you present Christ to them, so you don't get despondent and you don't grow weary and you don't become exhausted. What about Paul? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse number 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in death often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Really? 5 times he was whipped, 39 stripes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. It doesn't mean with marijuana. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I've been in the deep. I journey often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirsting, fastings often, in cold and naked, besides the other things that comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. It sounds like a lifetime of abuse. Go back with me to Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 10. How many of you have dealt with a passion you just want to see somebody saved? You've been praying for them, crying out to them, just believe in God for them. I want to read this, what Paul had to say. Verse 1. I tell you the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brother and my countrymen according to the flesh. Did you ever try to figure out Paul's thorn in the flesh? Maybe there's an answer here. Constant sorrow over the fact that the Jews weren't coming to Christ. Look at chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Why did Paul keep going back to the Jew? Why did he keep going through the abuse? Why did he keep going through the beatings? Because he had in his heart, he wanted to see him saved. That's why we don't give up on people. We keep praying. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He's talking about his thorn in the flesh, and in verse 8 he says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with God three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of God may rest upon me. His grace is sufficient. So what do we do? How do we face all these things? When we look at things and we see a hopeless situation or what we feel is a hopeless person, whether we look at our children and see they're not doing what I want, they're not following God, they're not where I want them to be, when things at work go downhill, when the pressures mount, when the finances and you have more month than money, what do? Number one, we realize that whatever you're facing, God's grace is sufficient. Okay? We come to a place of understanding and realizing that God is more than enough. And that whether I see it here or not, if you're praying for grandchildren or great-grandchildren, whether I see the answer here or not, that prayer is always before God. And God's grace is amazing. So amazing. Number two, you ever get frustrated with yourself? Look at Philippians 1:6 with me. Look at Philippians 1:6. Stand on this verse. Because some people don't grow in the same amount of time that they think they should. Or sometimes there's reoccurring issues that pop up. 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God has a lifelong developmental plan that is for your whole life. You're growing and you're growing and you're growing and you're growing and you're growing. And while you're growing, you're being changed. You're being transformed in the image of Christ. And the glory of God is increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing. And you may not even know it. But as you look at your life, realize that God is faithful to do in your life that which He has promised. Hebrews chapter 12. Third thing, He talks about a great cloud of witnesses and the sin which easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance a race as set before us. In verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look at me now. Keep focused. Keep focused on Christ. Whatever's happening, whatever you think is falling apart, whatever you think God's not interested in working in, whatever you think is going backwards, look to Jesus. Walk in the Holy Spirit. Seems like a trite statement, but let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Just look to Jesus, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, and you know that the Father loves you. It's not a time to come to a place of getting discouraged, getting despondent. The devil wants you to give up. That's his purpose and his plan for you. That's not what it's all about. Seeing someone else saved as you've prayed, as you've witnessed, the rest is God's part. Right? It's God's part. We can't step into God's part. We love Him and we pray for Him and we believe, but God has to do the rest. And as we focus on Jesus, don't just focus on somebody's sin. Focus on them as a person and focus on them through the eyes of God. Can we do that? Because God sees the whole picture. You see today, right? You see yesterday. God sees the future. And if you are just focused on what you're seeing right now or what you saw yesterday, you won't see the big picture and you'll throw up your hands and you'll give up before God wants you to. It's really true. He knows the day of their salvation. But you know, God didn't come to you and grab you around the neck and choke you till you accepted Christ. Right? He gave you every opportunity not only to accept Him, but also to reject Him. And lastly, this morning, as you focus on Him, as you realize His grace, as you realize that God's doing a work in you, don't put the temporary in front of the eternal. Turn to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 17 and 18. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How many of you don't look at your light affliction as for a moment? Has it been pretty heavy? Well, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Everything you see right now is temporary. Even your physical body. It's a tent, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we dwell in. So don't get so caught up in looking at today and the temporary that we miss the eternal and what God can do. Let God be God in your situation. And don't let your emotions or your attitude become God. Just trust Him. Look at Him. Accept that a measure of grace that He's pouring out upon us. Realize that He's doing a work in you and He's not going to stop. Stay focused. and see the big picture, the eternal scheme of God's plan. Amen? We okay? Stand with me, will you? There are times when our emotions get out of control. That's part of being human. As you sense that happening, as you sense thoughts about people and things going on that aren't of God, pray. But how many have a real close friend? How many have somebody that you really trust? They're a believer. Anybody? You're the most unfriendly people I've ever met. Reach out to someone that you trust and say, I have an issue with this. Between you and me, will you pray with me? That's what I did with my brother-in-law. And sometimes it is absolutely freeing to let someone know you're not covering this up. You're not protecting it. You're not protecting yourself. You're coming to a place where you're just opening that thing up to someone. And you know something? If they're really close to you, they've already sensed that they're just afraid to say something. And just trust God. The culture of honor, husbands go to your wives, and wives go to your husband, and parents go to your children, and grandparents go to grandchildren. If we don't respect our children, and if we don't respect one another, how are our children ever going to learn respect for somebody else? And so this culture of honor we're talking about is not just in this building. It's outside the building. It's as you meet people. That doesn't mean you don't discipline your children. Discipline means you train them. But it's simply the fact that we have developed a culture of honor in our hearts. And that's going to people we meet. And the message this morning, don't get so caught up with your emotions that you can't see the reality of what God is doing. It's amazing. It's like Stephen said, there's a lot of things going on that we have just closed our eyes to and things that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. A lot of people are going to heaven. Amen?